Okay, we're reading the time. We're going to share this morning in the second session concerning the churches being the golden lampstand. But first of all, you have to realize that the revelation here in chapter 1 showed us that Christ today, walking in the midst of the churches, is the great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. And the description is amazing. Remember, the priesthood without a high priest is impossible. Is impossible. It just cannot be. Then it'll be, I don't know what kind of a priesthood we will become. So the priesthood must be 100% one with God. I know it is a very high demand and requirement. Why did God choose the tribe of Levi to be the priests, the priestly tribe? Because the whole 12 tribes at that time became fallen when Moses was up in the mountain, fellowshipping with God, receiving the tablets of stones with the commandments of God. People couldn't wait even 40 days. They couldn't wait. Just 40 days. They couldn't wait. So they made themselves the golden calf and worshipped the golden calf, and God was really angry. And it was Moses that really calmed God down in a way. So Moses came down, and Moses was so angry he broke the two tablets of stone. That shows how mad he was, how angry he was. He didn't even consider, it was written by the fingers of God on the table of stones. Wow, you keep it until today, it'll be worth trillions of dollars. It was so precious. He broke it because he was so angry. That also shows that the people of God could not even keep the commandments of God, not even one. Not even one. Like last conference, Muchang told us, God gave Adam and Eve how many commandments? Not 100? One. What was that one commandment? Do not eat of that tree. Because if you eat of it, you will die. You will die. Just one commandment.
No?
Oh, maybe I should sit down, somebody else. Oh, it's a Thai translation. Okay. Yeah. But they couldn't even keep one, and God gave them 10. Right. Okay. If Adam and Eve couldn't even keep one, they couldn't keep anything. Even the commandment was not even given. They already broke the first one, the golden calf. This is how fallen human beings like all of us are. We could not keep God's commandment unless His life comes into us. Only by His life we could keep His commandment. Yeah. So here you can see that what God wants as a great high priest to lead the churches on shows that all the churches today must be the kingdom of priests. Otherwise, why do you need a great high priest for. Right? That shows that the churches should be a kingdom of priests for God. Right? This is very simple to understand. You don't even need to study theology to understand that. So today, in order to practice the priesthood, we all need the great high priests. Very, very important. And if you read and go back to the book of Hebrews in chapter 8, what did Paul say? And this is the main point, right? Of what we're talking about. What did he say? We have such a great high priest. That is the main thing. That is the focus. Without a great high priest, how are you going to practice the priesthood? Right. Who is going to correct you? What is the standard? What does he want? Remember, even the Lord, when he rose from the dead, he had to go to the Father right away to present himself as the first fruits, because the first fruits belongs to God. Amen. Right. So only the Lord can satisfy the Father. Amen. So to practice the priesthood, you need to know him. This is why Leviticus shows us our Lord is what? He's the burnt offering. 100% for God. And coming back to that point, when Moses came down, he was angry and he drew a line. Those who are for God, come over and stand on this side. Only the tribe of Levi came over to that side. The rest, they didn't. Can you imagine that? So which side are you going to stand? But then they have to draw their own sword, each one of them, and slay their brother. What does it mean spiritually? That means when it comes to decision, standing for God or for other brothers, you have to draw your sword. If you have to choose between your dad and the Lord Jesus, who are you going to choose? I'm glad he added the word, hopefully. That means he's not sure. What does the Lord say? If you love your husband and wife, your children, your daughter, your sons, more than me, you are not worthy of me. You're not worthy. He's God. Who can compare to him? Mm-hmm. And he even said it in another place. He says, if you don't hate your father and your mother and your wife and your children, you are not worthy of me. Well, is the Lord teaching you to hate your dad? No. But if anything or anyone stand between you and God, draw your sword. Cut that relationship. That means you choose God, because nobody can replace God. It doesn't mean that, hey, you should kill your mom and dad, or you should hate them. Definitely the Lord doesn't mean that. But the Lord is using such language to show you that he is supreme. He is God. He is God. What is more important in this whole universe, in your whole life, than God himself? So the tribe of Levi, as a reward, God gave them the gift. It's a gift. It's a privilege. The priesthood. The priesthood is a real privilege. But then, as a priest, you need to listen to God. But today, you can see people are following man. They don't listen to God. If somebody did anything or say anything or taught anything that is contrary to the word of God, are you still going to listen to them? Or are you going to listen to God? Your choice. Right. But if you want to keep the priesthood and practice it and perfect it, then you have to have the spirit of the tribe of Levi. Stand on the side, and Moses really stood on the side of God. Praise the Lord. Right. It is a serious word, but what can we say? What can I tell you? Right. Because it's written, it's the way it is. That's why the first point that we, as a priesthood, should experience Christ as our burned offering. The whole offering is burned up as a sweet aroma to satisfy God, not to satisfy anybody. Right. Are you really for God's plan, for God's will? Is your life for God? These are questions that many of us have to answer. Are you willing to give up this and that for God? Or maybe God is not that important for you. It sounds, oh, John, you're too extreme. No, I'm not. I wish I were. I'm not absolute enough, but I aspire to be absolute for God. Just like the Lord, he was absolute for God. He never did any compromises. Even when the devil himself tempted him, he didn't give even 1 millimeter to Satan. He stood firm for God. He was victorious. He didn't give in to any pressure from Judaism, from those people. When he was on this earth, his only food, he says, is to do the will of the Father and to finish it. And he was fully, absolutely one with the Father and for God's glory on this earth. Right. So, the priesthood needs to experience Christ as a burnt offering to be for God's will. To be for God's will. And then the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Do you see any flaw in the humanity of the Lord? Committed sin? No. His humanity is perfect. In him is no sin. Praise the Lord. He was tempted, the Hebrews book tells us, in every way, just like we are. He was tempted, and yet he did not sin. He's without sin. Right? Because he was born of a virgin. The conception was through the Holy Spirit. He's called the Holy One, is the Son of the Most High God. In fact, is God himself. He overcame everything. Even at the very end of the worst trial, test, to be crucified on a cross. He said, Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass from me. How many times did you say that to God? But I like the second sentence, the following phrase, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. I told him many times, Father, it's too hard. I can't make it. So difficult. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Right. We are human beings. Who is weak, Paul says, and I'm not. But, praise the Lord, we have Christ in his perfect humanity. He went through all kinds of tests. That's why it says the fine flour must be baked in different ways. The Lord went through all trials, and the last trial was his death on the cross. And yet on the cross he said, Father, forgive them. But if somebody offended you, you cannot even forgive, nor forget. Okay, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. Every time I see you, I remember that. I don't know what kind of forgiveness that is. But the Lord says, and their iniquities and unrighteousness and sins will I remember always. No more, it says. No more. How wonderful. That's a new covenant. I'm glad God has forgiven and forgotten all of my sins. You know, when David confessed to God in Psalm 51, he even says, I was born in sin. That means he traced that sinful nature all the way to the mother's womb. What a confession. I don't think any of us ever confessed in such a way to God. Right? That the Lord will deal with the nature of sin. Yeah. Right. So, praise the Lord. Right. So, we have such wonderful Christ as all these wonderful aspects. The sin offering, the trespass offering, the peace offering, wonderful peace offering, the wave offering, even the heave offering concerning resurrection and ascension of Christ, and all of these we all have to experience as the priesthood to be perfected and become a golden lampstand. I cannot go into details in 5 minutes, okay? But the first thing you need to remember is the nature of the lampstand is golden, the divine nature. Remember Psalm 19, for example, every word of God is more precious than gold, sweeter than honey. Even his word is golden. Whatever comes out of God's nature is gold, tried in fire. And the Lord told Laodicea, come to me and buy gold. They thought they're rich. Rich in what? Theology, doctrine, Bible, knowledge. Well, those are nothing. It's just a piece of paper with black ink. And some knowledge and some interpretation of somebody. Peter says, first thing you need to note when you read the Word of God and the Word of prophecy is no private interpretation. That means not just your private interpretation, but his private interpretation, my private interpretation, so-and-so's private interpretation, Luther's private interpretation, Witness Lee's private interpretation, whosoever it is. As a private interpretation can never replace the living Word of God. Gold. You want gold? Go for it. Don't tell me how you go to him. He is the one who has it. I don't have it for you. So if you want gold, go to him. That kind of gold you cannot buy from any of this company here. Yeah, you can buy, but those are earthly gold. When the Lord comes, they mean nothing. We want the real gold, which is God himself in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That is the most precious element in the whole universe. Without him, there is nothing. So, buy gold. But not just to have gold, this gold has to be built into a lampstand. 1 talent of gold. I, up to this moment, cannot imagine how someone can make 1 chunk of gold, pure gold, and hammer it into a beautiful lampstand, a stand with 3 branches going out on left and right, so 7 lamps, and then with beautiful almonds blossom. Can you do that? Hmm.
12:15, not 12.
Oh, I have till 12:15.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you.
Oh.
But maybe we don't need it. Yeah. Not easy. What does it tell you? That tells you, you and I, we cannot build the church. I heard an old brother says, without my ministry, where would the churches be? Wow. He must be God. And finally, he taught people, man can become God. How sad. Oh, Lord is right. That shows, who can make such a lampstand? Even if you had a gold, try to hammer it into such a beautiful lampstand. Can you do it? Oh, I know you're a very practical brother. Oh, yeah, you made excellent coffee, the best coffee I've ever enjoyed in my life. Really? But that's coffee. It's not a lampstand. No one can do such a tedious job. No wonder Abraham says he's waiting for a city. Not made by hands. Even the Lord went up to the tabernacle, heavenly tabernacle, not made with man's hand, not of this creation. And Paul wrote, Abraham was looking for that city whose architect and maker is God. That's why everything that man could build today is a big mess. That's why they call it mass. The Catholic mass. I call it the Catholic mess. This is the biggest mess. No one can do it. And why almonds? And why not beautiful roses? Hmm? What is your favorite flower? Tulip. So if you are the artist to make that lampstand, you will use tulips. But what is tulip? You know iron's rod that butts? You remember that? Hmm? What did it but tulips? Overnight put it in the Holy of Holies, the next day, tulips came. No?
No.
What came out? Almonds with a blossom. Exactly the same as that almond in the golden lampstand. What does almond stand for? Almond is the first tree that blossoms after winter. It signifies resurrection power. Can a branch cut out from the tree still blossom? It becomes a rod. Have you ever seen a rod? Hiking with a rod. Right? I don't know if you had a rod at home. I have a rod at home. I have a few sticks at home. But no blossoms. It's dead rod. dead rod, but Aaron's rod overnight blossoms its almond. And that shows that God has chosen Aaron, given him the divine power and authority to lead the priesthood, to lead the 12 tribes as the high priest. Yeah. Because of rebellion. You remember the story of Korah. Right. The earth opened up and swallowed them up and closed it up again. So, this wonderful golden lampstand, if you take a look at it, it looks like an almond tree full of almonds. Because each branch here going up has three almonds blossom with knobs and flowers and all that. Beautiful, right? Looks like an almond tree. Full of life, full of resurrection power, resurrection life. It's wonderful. And then even the cup is there. Wow, looks like an almond. That means, hey, did not the Lord say, destroy this temple and I will build up in 2,000 years? No, what did he say?
3 days.
What does it mean in 3 days? In the power of his resurrection. That's why he's the firstborn from the dead. And as such, well, he's the head over all things through the church. The beginning of the creation, the new creation of God. Right? That's the golden lampstand. And the centerpiece signifies Christ, and we are the members of his body. Right? He's not just the head. The whole lampstand is coming out from him, from the stand. The stand is very solid. It's about, hey, over 2 feet maybe, if I calculate it. Maybe 3 feet. A heavy golden lampstand, and it must be filled with oil to give light. And it's seven, it's six and one. The six on the side attached to the one centerpiece. Again, it's seven. That means it must be complete. The light must be complete. Don't just have one lamb. You know, how many lambs do we have here? Try to close everything except one that is out there. We will be in darkness. But he said, there's light. Well, why did you change all these lambs here? Why? Because it was not bright enough. It was not completely dark, but not bright enough. Is the church here in Fountain Valley bright enough? How many lamps do we have? How about in Toronto? What about in Vancouver? What about in Chuncheon? If the light is not bright enough, it's not good enough. Yeah. And it has to be filled with oil every day. And where does the oil come from? The oil is the Holy Spirit. And who can give you more spirit? The Lord. Right. So, the light coming out. You have to remember, in the holy place there is no windows. No windows. We still have some windows here. If you turn off the light, we can still have some light. But in the holy place, the light is absolutely depending on the light shining out of the lampstand. God doesn't want any natural light. That's why in the New Jerusalem, the holy city, final lampstand, there is no need of sunlight, no need of moonlight, no need of any kind of light, because God himself is the light, and Christ is the lamp, and the whole city is a lampstand. Are we building that? Yeah. BJ, are we building that kind of a church? Or is the church just, oh yeah, Sunday going, have a group of people having a good time in fellowship and then go home? That's a lampstand. And the high priest has to go in and trim the lamp. Every day, trim the lamp, because if that wick is burned, then the light is not in its maximum strength. And even when you trim it with a scissor, it has to be a golden scissor. Don't just take and cut whatever you like. That means if you see any trouble in the church, don't just get a butcher knife, cut it. Butcher knife. You will kill the saints. But that's what we do. That is what we do. No. You need a golden scissors, a trimmer. That means you trim it very carefully. And then don't just throw it away. Then you have the dishes, they're also golden. Everything is made of gold. That means whatever we do in a church must be out of Christ. Not out of ourselves. It's a golden lampstand. Right? If we have eyes to see, you can see. It's just like a tree of life right there. Why do you think the Lord made the design like a tree? So which tree? Tulip is not a tree, right? But it's like an almond tree there, full of life. And then every day, fresh oil. Fresh oil. The Lord is not like your thought. You have a big tank. How often do you fill your car with gasoline?
Once every 2 weeks.
Okay, for your car, but not a lampstand. The lampstand doesn't have a big tank, 20 gallons. No, it's a small lampstand, small cups there. You have to fill it every day. You think the Holy Spirit filling your vessel can last for 1 year without filling? Huh? So how often did He add oil to you? Ah, okay, I shouldn't be asking you. We need to be filled with oil every day. Just like in the book of Acts, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Not once for all, no. But enough for that day to carry out God's plan and purpose. But every time things happen, again they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Many times, again and again and again and again. How often do you have to eat? Once a week. Oh, you mean to say once a month? How often do you eat?
At least 3 times a day.
3 times? How about just 1 time is good enough? God should create in you one big stomach. You should have a small head but a big stomach so that you don't have to eat 3 times a day. How about that? It's wasting too much time eating. No, it's living. You are a living vessel. You're a living organic being. You don't need such a big tank. But just right to digest, because it's organic, it's life, it is living. Unless you don't live Christ, that's okay. But no, spiritually, you need to be eating every day. How come you're not eating every day? Because you're sleeping every day. Instead of exercising, living according to the Spirit, carrying out, serving God, then you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you're a sleeping servant, you don't need to eat nor drink. So do you eat and drink at night when you're sleeping? Huh? What about if you're sleeping the whole day? This is the way we need to live spiritually. Lord, fill me every day. Amen. And what is the problem with those foolish virgins? What was their problem? They were sinning, they were bad people, or what? No, they're still virgins. But how come they didn't make it? Why? Because they have no oil in the vessel. Just that little oil in the lamb that they receive from the Lord in their initial salvation, and that's it. That's not enough to get you up to Mount Zion. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Time is up, right? That's the golden lampstand. And that's what the Lord wants. The lampstand in the holy place signifies God as light. That's for the temple, for that house. Because without the lamp there, that temple would be in darkness. The lamp in Ezekiel chapter 4, not Ezekiel, in Zechariah chapter 4, signifies the nation of Israel. They have to be a lampstand. But then you need to have olive trees, the olive tree, two olive trees constantly filling the lamp. And those two trees are the priesthood, signify the priestly service of Aaron and the kingship of Zerubbabel. So again, you can see the kings and the priests, the kingship and the priesthood with a lampstand. Because you cannot have a lampstand without a priesthood and kingship. That's why the Lord wants to make us kings and priests. But you need oil, a kingdom of priests. And then you have the seven lampstands in the book of Revelation signifying what? The churches. So, praise the Lord for that vision. And I think you understand what it means. May the Lord open our eyes to see. God only wants a lampstand, not churches. That's why it's a mystery, the mystery of the seven golden lampstands. So, he who has an ear, let him hear. There's no need of much explanation, but you already know. So get into it yourself. Okay? Praise the Lord.